God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 4. There is no greater call to action or reason to serve than the love of God that was manifested in Jesus Christ in his life and in his ministry. If the love of God cannot or does not move us, meaning move our minds and certainly move our hearts to act, there is no force of law that will. If the love of Christ cannot provide the passion for action and the strength to see it through, there is no power nor mission worthy enough to propel us. Love makes the law unneeded. As Romans 13:10 tells us, love is the fulfilling of the law. In other words, we don't need it written down to tell us. We have it written on the tables of our heart. Jesus Christ never treated anyone as a willful sinner or unclean. His will and motivation to deliver men from darkness and evil was not because of his hate for the devil, but because of his love for the Father. That is great love, and it is love that made him able to do. The question is, are we bold enough to love? Are we confident in the love of God? Can we be compassionate of heart to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ and set the captives free? In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, at the opening of Jesus Christ's ministry, it says, Luke 4, verse 16, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom or his ethics was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book or the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book or unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because,' here's the reason why, 'he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor or to the humble. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that were bruised.'" Isn't that beautiful? He began his ministry and began his actual ministry service with this great record quoted from Isaiah. And it says, "He hath anointed me." When we were born again, we received that gift of Holy Spirit. And we are to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ to set the captives free. The captives are those who have been taken captive, as in a war. We look at our dictates that we give to our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and other of our military, our Marine Corps, our Coast Guard, and they are instructed to be compassionate and to show compassion. And of course, we have laws written into the Uniform Code of Military Justice on how a prisoner of war is to be treated. But I can assure you that prisoners of war do not sit idly in a cell with three squares a day and an exercise yard and all these other things. They are enslaved, like the children of Israel were under the bitter bondage of the Egyptians. They are enslaved and entreated mercilessly. They are captives. But we are, our enemy has been defeated. But if we allow the iniquity of mankind to wax the love cold. Let's look at Luke chapter, or let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Because here's what happens. When love is not the most paramount, when love is not the motivation of the heart, when love is not the inspiration of the mind and motivation of the heart. It says in Matthew 24 and in verse 12, it says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold," or blow cold is the text. There's a cold wind a-blowing. We cannot allow iniquity to have reign. And the way to keep it from reigning is to keep the love of God fresh in our hearts. The scriptures talk about Israel in Egypt serving in bitter bondage. They were treated disdainfully, and they were captive. There was no escape for them. You don't get away from it. And that is what our enemy, our adversary, has for us. You know, we talk about, and a big concern we have about children being bullied. We talk about them being bullied on the playground. We talk about them being bullied on the bus or some other things. But then they go home to the comforts and the love of their family. The children of Israel were treated disdainfully. They never got away from the bullying. When you are a prisoner of war, you never get away from it. The children of Israel served in bitter bondage. That means heavy labor. They were constrained to carry brick and mortar. I don't know if you've ever carried a bundle of bricks or a stack of bricks, but it's heavy. I don't know if you've ever had to handle mortar, but it is extremely heavy. They didn't work 4 hours and get a 15-minute break, get an hour lunch, and come back for 4 hours. It was very difficult, and the only thing that could see people through the captives, to set the captives free, is the love of God. People are under that kind of rule against our adversary. It's the same adversary. But he is a defeated adversary, and people need to know what maintains that defeat over him, and what keeps it going is when we walk in the greatness of the love of God. In those situations like the children of Israel were in, they got very little food and they worked long hours. They suffered through mental anguish, worrying about their children because the children were also evilly entreated. And where do you think men get such evil ideas on how to treat people? From the master of it, our enemy. But Jesus Christ was sent to set the captives free. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. We need the Spirit of God and we need the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we will just fall into intellectualism. Without the Word of God, we will get into spiritualism. If we rely only on the Spirit of God or just Spirit, we will fall into spiritualism. The Word of God keeps us from moving from the Spirit of God into spiritualism. But we need both. We need the Word of God and we need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to work within us, and we need the Word of God to explain to people the great truth of God. He had sent me to preach the gospel to the poor, to the humble. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The word heal is the work of a surgeon. It's properly applied and rightly used in the work of a surgeon. But our surgery is of the heart. And the people who are of a broken heart, the word broken means they're shattered. It's not just a little tiny break or a sprain. It is absolutely shattered. But through the Word of God and through the love of God, we can give them hope where there is no hope. A man with a shattered heart, they will say, is a hopeless situation. A woman with a shattered heart would be considered a hopeless situation, even for the greatest surgeon. But with the love of God and with the Word of God, we bring hope where there is no hope. Preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, a bruise is something that happens under your skin. It's interior. You know, if you get a wound, you bleed on the outside. But if you are bruised, you're bleeding on the inside. It is the love of God and the Word of God that will heal them and set at liberty them that are bruised, those who were deeply wounded inside. There is hope for them through the love of God and the Word of God. The love of God, because it is the motivation of heart and mind to speak the truth. And hope, because the scriptures lay out the promises of God. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then verse 20, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. We are to walk in his steps. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Light will always dispel darkness, and God's love manifested in the compassionate heart of Jesus Christ will outlast and prevail over anything and everything. There are no limits in this love, no end of its mercy, no fading of its hope. In fact, it inspires hope in others and leads the heart to freedom. Are you bold enough to love? I've heard people say, oh, I have no love for so-and-so. This love is so powerful and so dynamic and unending, because God's supply of love has the lasting power to love the unlovable and reach the unreachable. It can reach to the shameful, and it can also reach to the shameless and change their lives. There is even enough of that love, of God's supply of love, to the end we can love even our enemies. In life, we may be left with a loss for words, but we are never left with a loss for love. I've had people say, I've found fault in you, and I wonder, as I say often, what took you so long? Everyone has weaknesses of the soul. Everyone has shortcomings, imperfections. Spiritually, we are flawless. But everyone in their soul, which we also have, has weaknesses, has imperfections, has shortcomings. Finding them is no great feat. But loving enough to cover those blemishes, that is a good work. Do you think Peter was flawless, Paul, and soul? No, they were also apostles and ministers of the sacred service for God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's see what some people thought about Paul and considered in regard to Paul. Let the love of God reign in your hearts. Let it be the great motivation of your heart and the inspiration of your mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, here we go. It says, starting in verse 7, do you look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think again that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification to build up, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For as letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence, weak, and his speech, contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letter when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure that reaches even unto you. Some people in Corinth absolutely missed new light of the great mystery revealed because they had not matured enough in love to cover the perceived human flaws that they thought they saw in Paul. And when they thought they saw it, they lessened his ministry. But God still showed him, and his ministry still operated exactly the way it was designed, flawless. You have to separate the human soul from the Spirit of God. There is not a situation in life where we are at a loss for love. Romans chapter 13 tells us, owe no man anything but to love one another. We worry about car debt. We worry about credit card debt, mortgage debt, the dreaded national debt. Will they ever balance the budget and get it paid? I can assure you, they can balance the budget. It will not pay off the debt, because the balanced budget just means you come out even. We are so far indebted as a nation that no budget's going to fix it. But in Romans chapter 13, let's go there. And it's not important in comparison to fulfilling the law of love in loving our neighbor as ourselves. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. How about paying off our debt of love? Would you think of paying off someone else's debt of love? Or how about just forgiving someone's debt of love? In 1 John chapter 4, let's go there. First John chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means a payment in full for someone by someone. A payment in full, to the end we owe nothing. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Do you love enough to pay off someone's debt of love? Do you love enough to forgive a debt of love? No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is being perfected in us, or matured. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given to us of his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ, or that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein, wherein, knowing and believing the love that God has for us, when we know it and believe it, our fears will go. Our frustrations will vanish, and our inability will be overtaken by God's great ability to us. Herein is our love made perfect, or is being perfected, becoming mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Are you bold enough to love? Jesus Christ did that for us. He paid it in full. Do you think you could pick up somebody's check for their lack of love? You know, in Philippians, I think of this great record, wonderful record, about the Philippian church. In Philippians chapter 4, again in verse 10. Is that what I wanted? Oh, I'm in Timothy. No wonder why it didn't look right. Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care or thinking of me hath flourished again, wherein you also were careful or mindful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you did well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Are we bold enough to love? Some men deal in hate. Even well-known Christian men speak of hate, about hating your debt. You got to hate your debt to handle your finances, to get it paid off. You got to hate it. How about those of us who are free to serve? How about loving God so you'd pay it off? How about loving so much so that you're free to serve by paying it off? Not hating it so you could, I can get it paid off and I can really serve then. You're going to serve hate, because what have you trained your mind to do? Hate. That's not the motivation. Our motivation, if the love of God is not inspiring enough to respond to the greatest calling or mission in life, and that is to serve the bread of life with the love of God, to serve with the compassionate heart of Jesus Christ, then God should have put hate, if that works better. But he put love, and that's what makes us free to serve, free to give, and gives us the ability. How about focusing on your love for God, who supplies all your need, so that you may be free to serve in love? God had his heart set with love on the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Men are always trying to pare it down, whom God should love and whom God should not love, and what God hates and what God loves, and what God this and what God that. Let God do that. I'm not bold enough to tell and distinguish what God should do. I wouldn't do that. That's foolish enough to argue with God on whom he ought to love and whom he ought to save and whom he shouldn't. The truth is, God so loved the world. Unfortunately, some of the world chooses not to love God or to love him back. But God included in his quest, God's love is so big that in his quest and in his desire to love the whole world, he included the uncaring and the ungrateful, the unconcerned. Jesus came to the haters, or Jesus came even for the haters and despisers, the worldly and the fool also. There is not a race, nationality, follower of a religion, or a seeker of his own intellect he did not come for. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. There is no one that Jesus Christ did not come for, no one that was not included. He came for the seeker of truth as well as the believer, the lover of good things and the lovers of evil. He came to be the Savior of the world, and as many as believed on him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. That's John 1:12. Christ came because God so loved the world. There is enough love to cover everyone in every situation. Never allow your heart to dwell in the insecurity. Dwell in the love of God. Only God can love, and only God's love can be that strong and decisive. He is not the God of lost causes, but the God who changes the courses of men and women's lives. Men and women, won by love, can change their lives and their own histories, and the histories of others, as we dare to walk in Christ's steps. For he was living proof God so loved the world. Let's follow in his footsteps, and may all of our words and our deeds abundantly serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless.